Our text this morning, Virgil will be opening up for us, is Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 34. Mark 5, beginning at verse 21. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And the disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Please join me in prayer, and I'll ask Virgil to come up in just a moment. Well, actually, Virgil, why don't you come up now, and we'll pray for you as you open the word for us. This morning, I'm pleased to welcome Pastor Virgil Olson. Virgil has been a pastor among us in many of our Baptist churches, as well as other groups of Baptists in the Lower Mainland for many years, and it's a privilege to have him to open God's word. So let me just pray for you, brother. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of hearing your word. And this morning we would ask that your Holy Spirit would anoint our brother and enable him to speak the words you want us to hear, the words we need to hear. So, Father, we pray that you would give him that anointing and that unction and that freedom, and that you would give us listening ears and ready hearts, that you would give us understanding, that you would speak to us, and that you would change us and transform us and bless us, that you might be glorified. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Well, it's a joy to be with you today, and my wife and I are, it didn't take us long to get from the North Shore over here. I was amazed at how quickly that happened. Today, I want you to pay attention to this portion of Scripture and see what can be applied to your life that will be more helpful to you. If we just get the account, but we don't see the lessons from it, we miss the objective of it all. So I want you to be attentive to that. This account is found in the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John does not deal with this portion, but the three Gospels do. And just to draw your attention to Matthew's concept, I just want to read a few verses that are here. It's found in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 20 and on. "Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding of 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, 'If only I touch his cloak, I will be healed.' Jesus turned and saw her. 'Take heart, daughter,' he said, 'your faith has healed you.'" Because Mark gives a more full account of this, that's the portion I'm going to deal with. But the reason that I read this one is the fact that Matthew seems to address the Jewish concept and writes, I think, particularly to the Jewish, whereas Mark may not be. And so there are different details that writers give you from the Gospels. And they all give the idea that this, you know, the concept of the woman in need and touching his garment. But what is important, I think, is the Hebrew context. We got to remember that Jesus was a Jew, and that he went into the temple and he was familiar with the Old Testament and all of those kind of things and came to fulfill it. I was reading a book the other day and I just thought it expressed what was significant about this hem of his of the garment. It wasn't just Matthew says it wasn't just that she touched the garment, but she touched the corners or the edge of his garment. And I found a little article in this book, Understanding Jesus, by Joe Amaral, kind of interesting, and so I want to read it to you to just get the context of why it was so important that she touched the hem of his garment. And the importance of it all is the importance of the Old Testament. No doubt in the traditions of the Jewish people and of the Old Testament, this woman was aware of these kind of things when she reached out to touch Jesus. Now we want to see what is unique about this touch. It didn't surprise Jesus, I'm sure, but it surprised the crowd and it surprised the disciples, and we want to look at this account before us. But before I do so, I'm just going to read this so that you get the idea of the importance from the Old Testament of the corners of the garment. First of all, we should identify what it was, in fact, that Jesus was wearing. Keep in mind that as an observant first century Jewish male, we know that Jesus would have kept the command found in Numbers chapter 15, verse 37 to 41. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, through the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corner of your garments with blue cord of each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at, and so you will remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourself by going after lusts of your own hearts and eyes. Then you will remember to obey all my commands and will be consecrated to your God. I am the Lord God who brought you out of Egypt to your God. I am the Lord your God." Again, the Lord commanded them in Deuteronomy 22, verse 12, "Make tassels on the four corners of your cloaks you wear." Therefore, according to Scripture, Jesus was wearing a garment that would resemble a modern-day prayer shawl that the Jews use. It was also known as I'm not up on the Hebrew, so the Hebrew word is there. The numbers of the word translated for border or corner are in the Hebrew, and they can be translated as wings. Therefore, the corners of the prayer shawl are often called wings of the garment. Each prayer shawl had a tassel of these corners and were made in eight threads and so on. Now that we see the picture of the wings of the corners of the prayer shawl, we can gain new insight into the moving words of the Psalm 91, verse 1 to 4. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will take refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." This speaking of being under the covering of God's law and protection. Even to this day, it's commonplace to see a Jewish man during this time of prayer with a prayer shawl completely covering his face. Wearing the prayer shawl like this is a symbolic gesture indicating a person's inward desire to not only be under the law of God, but to literally clothe themselves with His law. Out of this understanding, there develops a belief in the first century about the prayer shawl of the Messiah. One of the beliefs was that the tassels of the Messiah's garment possessed healing powers. This no doubt linked to the messianic prophecy that is found in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. "Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." Imagine the implication of this had in the first century.
What we just read from Malachi contains what is known as a messianic title, Son of Righteousness. There are many other words for it as well. So if Son of Righteousness is messianic title, then Malachi 4:2 is properly prophecy about the Messiah. Since Jesus is the Messiah, then this would be prophecy about him, keeping in mind the woman who had the issue of blood considered how powerful this passage becomes when we insert the name of Jesus for the title Son of Righteousness. It would read like this, "But unto you that fear my name shall Jesus arise with healing in his wings." The woman with the issue of blood lived in the first century Israel and was aware of this prophecy. The text says that she thought to herself that if she just touched the wings of his garment, she would be healed. When she heard that Jesus, who was possibly the Messiah, was passing by, it would explain why she felt she must touch the hem or the tassels of his garment. It's interesting to note that the importance of Scripture, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And Jewish tradition of that time had a lot of insights into what God, and then we have the Old Testament with all of its truths and prophetic utterance. What encourages me so much is if God has fulfilled these in his first coming, he will also fulfill everything that is in the Old Testament prophecy and New Testament concerning his second coming. And we need to be aware of the fact of what Jesus can do for us in our particular. And you have drawn attention to that today in your singing. Well, Matthew mentions this, and so does Luke, and makes it important that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she would be made whole. The account in Mark, and if you have your Bibles now, just open them up to Mark, the fifth chapter, and you will see the account that is here before us. And we want to look at it to see what we can learn from it. And at the end of going through these ideas, I want you to relate to who you relate most to. And that's where we're going to make the application of this portion of Scripture. The crowd was pressing around. Can't you just get the picture of what was happening? Here was a crowd that was gathering because of all of the miraculous things. If you read the preceding chapters of the book of Mark and the verses following, you find out how significant this is. Jesus had been doing all these things, so there was a crowd pressing around him. He had stilled the storm. He had fed the multitude. He had done all kinds of miraculous things, and Jesus is coming by, and there is a crowd gathering. Whenever anything unusual happens that isn't the usual thing for that day, a crowd gathers. When all of the celebrations were here in B.C. and all the rest, you'd say, and I didn't go downtown because there were too many crowds gathering. Now, people were curious. And so there was a whole crowd gathering around this situation. And in that particular time of history of the church, of the church and of Israel and the rest of it, women weren't highly esteemed. The gospel and the teaching of Jesus Christ elevated women to a new place in society. And the importance, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male or female. God looks at them equally. And so, but that wasn't true in that day. This woman would have been looked at by the crowd to get out of the way kind of situation, because she not only was a woman, but she had an issue of blood that was looked at as unceremonially unclean, so that people were shunning her. And so I think of the fact that we'll need to apply this to the people that are shunned in our society today around the world, how important it is that they get through to touching Jesus. So here she is in the crowd, and she's aware. She says to herself, if I could just even touch his garment, and Matthew says the hem, or the wings of his garment, I'll be made whole. Now, there's nothing that significant about these tassels, even though the tradition might have thought that there was healing coming through them. there was a uniqueness of prophetic utterance that only certain diseases Jesus, that it would take the Messiah to heal. And all of these diseases that the Old Testament talks about and the Jews looked at as being the ones that the people or the leaders at that day might bring healing to, all of the three messianic things they were looking for the Messiah to do in healing, Jesus accomplished. And so there was a great understanding among some that this Jesus, if I can just touch him, it will make me whole. So the tassels aren't that important. They were only a means of contact. And there are times that happen in life when things that aren't that important are a means of contact for us to get in contact with Jesus Christ, the one who is able to do this wonderful miracle for this woman. Now, the important part of the woman was that she took the way of reaching out. She didn't just sit back and wait and think, well, if Jesus wants to heal me, he can come by and heal me. She did her part. And I think that sometimes we need to recognize the fact that there are things that we can do to reach out and touch Jesus that are significantly important. And we have a responsibility to seek for his help and to believe that he will do something about it. Well, that he says to her, your faith has made you whole. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they that come to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So it was the fact, not that she just reached out, not that she just touched the hem of his garment, but that she had faith that Jesus Christ could meet her need, and she went away whole. It is important for us to recognize that we need faith. Whatever need you might have here today, Jesus can meet that need. But you must have the faith to reach out to touch him and to have him meet that particular need. Well, our purpose today is to look at this account and say, who can we relate to? And there are a number of things I want to draw attention to, and there are five of them. One is the crowd. The other is the disciples. The third is the woman that reaches out in faith. And then I'd like to draw attention to the disciples after the day of Pentecost. There's a significant change that happens, and I'll show you what happens in the life of the disciples after that happens. Many people today relate just to the crowd. And even on today when people are gathering in churches around the city of Vancouver and all over the world, there's a crowd that's curious. If something unusual happens in a particular church, someplace, somewhere, or that, the crowd sort of gathers to find out because they're curious to see what has happened. But all they're doing is just sort of bumping into Jesus once in a while. And there are people that relate to the crowd that the only time they sort of get in contact with Jesus is on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock or whenever their service is. And that's their total relationship with Jesus for that week. They get 1 hour and they wonder why there's little growth and little faith. They're just kind of among the crowd bumping in to Jesus. And then there are the religious crowd that get shocked when somebody really reaches out and touches Jesus because they're not really expecting it. It's like the people meeting in the upper or in the room waiting for Jesus, and then when the disciples are in prison, even they're gathering for prayer, but they don't expect when Peter comes to the door, they're sort of surprised that somebody has really reached out and touched Jesus Christ. So there's the crowd. I don't know who you relate to most today. If you're just one of those that kind of bump into Jesus on Sunday morning, then you need to change that because that's not going to meet your need. There needs to be a closer, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ than that. Well, the disciples, they're surprised, really,
that Jesus asked the question, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Lord, what a question. What a question to ask. Who touched me? There's a whole crowd around here have been bumping into you." But there was a uniqueness about it. And then, of course, Luke talks about that it was not only the disciples, but Peter was the spokesman. And Peter was often the spokesman for asking kinds of questions. And he said, "Lord, why are you asking such a question? Have you ever wondered why God does things the way he does it and have questions? Why do you ask?" And that's what the disciples and Peter are asking. Why do you ask who touched me? Maybe you're among that crowd here today and you wonder why Jesus does this and why Jesus does that. And his answer was, the crowd were here, but somebody touched me in faith and power came from me. When you come in contact with Jesus Christ in faith, there's a power that comes to you because the Holy Spirit has come to indwell every believer. And if you're a believer here today, the power that raised Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit, dwells in you. But you have to reach out in faith and surrender to God in faith for the Holy Spirit to work in you. But if you recognize, first of all, that you have the power available to you in the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, because it says the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in every believer. So Jesus answers the question, somebody here touched me. I think Jesus knew all the time who the woman was that had touched him, but I have no evidence for that. But however it was, it drew her out to admit that her need had been met by Jesus in accordance to his word. His word was fulfilled. She had reached out in faith. She had touched not just the hem of the garment. That wasn't that important, but she had touched the Son of Righteousness. She had touched Jesus. She'd been in communion with him, not just a bump in the crowd, but an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what you really need if you're going to have your need met, an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, where you talk to him in prayer, you take his word, and he speaks to you by the power of the Holy Spirit and says, "Here's what I want you to do." We all have our opportunities. This past week has been one of those busy weeks for me, although I'm supposed to be retired. You, as a pastor, you never really retire. There's always people that you... over the last little less than a week, I've bumped into two people with needs. Well, all kinds of people with needs. But two people that were considering suicide. And by the touch of the Master, they're alive today. But how do they get in touch? Someone needs to be there. And I need to be that person, and you need to be that person, so that when they're going to touch Jesus, they need to have a little tassel, and that's you. You are the contact person to be able to meet the need of that person when that comes across your way. I spent the time where I said goodbye to one of the dear friends, is going to pass into eternity, if not today, tomorrow, the next day. But I said, "Well, I'll see you in heaven," because I knew of the faith that the person had. So we have an opportunity to stay in touch with Jesus. Now, if you go on to in the book of the scripture in Mark chapter 6 and verse 53 and on, this is what it says. I'm just got to find the right verse here. Yes, 53 and on. When they had crossed, they landed in Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And where
Wherever he went, into villages, towns, and countrysides, they placed the sick in the marketplace. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of the cloak, and all who touched him were healed. I'm sure that woman had a witness, had an influence, because she witnessed to the fact that Jesus Christ had made her whole. Well, can you relate to that woman that reaches out in faith? Have you had experiences this past week, and will you look forward to some this coming week when by faith you reach out to Jesus and he ministers to your need so that you can minister to someone else effectively? The disciples after the day of Pentecost, I saw such a tremendous change in people like Peter. And then you read 1 and 2 Peter and you see the changes in Peter who gave the message at the day of Pentecost. And there was a tremendous change in the lives of the people there. And then I see people like Saul of Tarsus that was walking down the road of one day and met Jesus. "Who are you, Lord?" he said. "I am the one that you persecute." And he said that, "Great, you must suffer a lot, but I'm going to be with you." Then I read Acts chapter 19, verse 11. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illness were cured. Evil spirits left them. Notice the influence of the power of God. When we reach out and touch God, we are now the means, the body of Christ, in order that people might touch us. When people come in touch close to you, what do they see? What do they hear? What kind of a testimony do you give? What kind of opportunity do you have to take the scripture and let people know that they can be set free? It is an amazing, wonderful thing. I've seen God at work. After 40 some odd years, I have lost track how many, of pastoral ministry and evangelism and outreach in various parts of Canada and the United States and everywhere, and see the people come to Jesus Christ, see God do amazing changes in their lives. I've seen people that were leaders of motorcycle gangs and all the rest of it, by the transforming power of God, come in touch with Jesus through some individual and then see their life absolutely changed. So you will receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the othermost parts of the world. And Mark sort of closes it all and says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall." And it is amazing things that the body of Christ can do when they're in touch with Jesus. Surprising touch? Have you had a surprising touch from Jesus on a number of occasions? Are you walking in close relationship to him so that when the people come in contact with you this coming week, they may come in contact with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to meet their needs? This is my prayer for you.